Turn with me in your scriptures to the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. And this morning we will begin a consideration of verse 20. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, hear God's word. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are in need of your grace. Whether as adult children, young adults, adolescents, toddlers, infants, we are all in need of your grace. Forgive us. We have stumbled, all of us, over the course of this week, and we have come in order to give our burdens unto you. We pray that in your power, mercy, and grace, you would take our burdens, and we would ask for healing. We would ask for wisdom. We would ask for your guidance. We would ask for your presence. We would ask for a felt sense of your love and grace in our lives. And so help us. We pray that as we acknowledge and discern that grace bestowed upon us, we might respond in all ways appropriate, especially in our obedience. And so help us, we pray. Give us understanding now according to this text. Draw near to us. We pray that Christ himself would address us this morning by his Spirit according to his word. We ask in his name. Amen. B.B. Warfield, a professor at Princeton Seminary at the turn of the last century, wrote in regards to Jesus and children, "It is only from Jesus that the world has learned properly to appreciate and wholesomely to deal with childhood and all that childhood stands for." If the world has learned to appreciate and wholesomely deal with childhood, the apostles not only learned, but also administered what Jesus so clearly taught. And so in our text this morning, we have the Apostle Paul. In addressing families, he also addresses the children. Addressing families at the church at Colossae, he does not neglect the children. He has a word for them. And though it might appear to be predictably moralistic, children, obey your parents, with a biblical understanding, it does not amount to a mere moralism. The message this morning is simple, and it's only a beginning, since we will draw near to the table this morning, draw near to Christ and he to us as we commune. And so this morning, just a simple message of introduction to this passage. And this is the simple message from God to you. Children are to obey their parents because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children are to obey parents in all things because it is pleasing to the Lord. Let me give a few observations, three this morning, and then we'll come to the table of the Lord. The first observation. Children are members of the church. Again, these are things that are assumed, implied, and general observations of the text. Children are members of the church. Children are included among the covenant people of God. Paul never nor any of the apostles ever make a distinction about an age of accountability which becomes a door through which a child enters into the church. A child enters the church upon his or her birth within a covenant home. And so Paul, in addressing the Colossian church in the introduction, addresses the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. That's the introduction to the letter. Who is Paul writing to? Who is his audience? The saints, the faithful that are in Colossae. And so throughout the epistle, he will address the saints and the faithful who are in Christ at Colossae. And lo and behold, who is included among the saints and the faithful in Christ in that church in Colossae? Who is it that's addressed in this epistle? Not only adults, not only wives, not only husbands, but children. Children. And so children are included under those titles as well. There's no awkwardness or artificial formulation about any age of accountability, age of discretion, or any particular stage in the life of a child in which they move from that position of outside to becoming being received into the church. Paul addresses children, children of believers. They are part of the church. One of the external benefits and privileges of the children in this church at Colossae are these titles of saints and faithful. And it's under those titles of faith, of saints and being faithful, that they are to be nurtured, to be saints and faithful. And so this epistle is addressed as much to parents as well as children. This ought not to be surprising. Throughout history, God has always included the children of believers among his covenant people. The Lord has always included children among those within the church. God said to Abraham, "I will be a God to you and to your children after you." It was Noah who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And I can pose a question to you this morning. Who is it that was saved by that horrific flood? Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Who was saved in the flood? Well, I think you know. His three sons. One of whom proved to be unfaithful to the covenant. When he gave the sign and seal of the covenant to Abraham, it was to be applied to whom? To children at 8 days old. When God saved Israel from the angel of death, it was a deliverance specifically for the firstborn male of each household, irrespective of age. Who was saved when the head of the household applied the blood of the lamb to the doorposts and lintel? Who was it that was saved? The firstborn male of each household, irrespective of age. Jesus blessed the infants. In fact, Luke uses that technical term of a child who is still so young as to be unable to walk, an infant. Jesus blesses the infant brought to him, saying, "To such belong the kingdom of heaven." Jesus blesses the infants and says, "To such belong the kingdom of heaven." Peter, during his sermon at Pentecost, refers to the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. That Spirit that fell upon the apostles and those 120 gathered in the upper room. And Peter responds in a sermon to various objections of this Spirit descending, and then addresses the multitude in this way, that this was the Holy Spirit promised. And this Spirit promised not only to you, O covenant people, but to your children and to those who are far off. Throughout the New Testament, we read of various household baptisms in the book of Acts and in some of the epistles. And now Paul is writing to the saints and the faithful in the church at Colossae. And who is included among those saints and faithful in the church at Colossae? Children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And so now we apply the sign and the seal of the covenant of grace that is given to the New Testament, that is baptism, to our children. And there are a couple of questions that are ordinarily put to parents. And the first question is this. Do you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to condemnation, they are holy in Christ, that is, set apart unto Christ, and as members of His church ought to be baptized? And ordinarily, parents will affirm that. As members of Christ's church ought to be baptized. And so what's implied here, and in my own mind, I think rather irrefutable, children are included among the church. They are addressed as saints and faithful, even as they are being nurtured in their faith. Children are members of the church by virtue of their birth into a covenant home. And they are embraced by the arms of the church in order that they might be nurtured in that faith entrusted to us. That's the first observation. Second observation. The Holy Spirit is addressing the children directly. The Holy Spirit addresses the children directly. I can go so far to say, and he who has ears to hear, let him listen. This morning, the Holy Spirit is addressing you, O congregation of Grace OPC in Columbus, Ohio. And he's not only addressing you as a congregation, I can say that the Holy Spirit is addressing you, children of this congregation. And what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you directly, and make no mistake about it, do not doubt. Don't in any way, rationalize, excuse, suppress, in any way, fiddle with this word to you this morning. Children of Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, the Holy Spirit is saying to you directly, children of this congregation, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to me. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. We acknowledge that it is the Apostle Paul who's writing this letter. But we further confess that this letter is part of the canon of Scripture, and it is inspired by no less than the Spirit of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. And it is the case that we make this confession in the larger catechism, that when the Word of God is read, and most especially when it's preached and unfolded for the people of God and directed to you specifically and applied to your consciences, that this is the very Word of God and you are to receive it. The Spirit speaks this morning, and he speaks this word to children of the congregation directly. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, again, it sounds like a mere moralism. Who wouldn't affirm that children ought to obey their parents? Unless some wingnut or weirdo. But most affirm this foundational block to our civil society. Children ought to obey their parents, indeed. But what is meant and what are the reasons that lie behind it? And that's what we have to look at. Not this morning. Lord willing, next week. But this obedience has a particular character, a quality to it. It has reasons that lie behind it that is most useful and profitable for us as His people. And so the Spirit is addressing you directly this morning. And that ought to strike us. It ought to strike you children. Recognize that there are various stages of childhood. There are those who are younger, still very much directly under their parents' authority. There are adolescents who begin to move out and begin to experience independence from that authority, learning to make decisions and exercising their judgment on their own. There are then adult children, to be sure. And there's a different application, I think, for each stage of life, each season. But overall, the Spirit is saying, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In our relationship to the Lord, whether as adults, parents, whether as children, and it's specifically children this morning I'm addressing, that there are privileges and there are responsibilities. Privileges as children, as well as responsibilities. The privileges as children. Born into this congregation, or any congregation that sincerely calls upon Christ and takes anything of the covenant seriously. Privileges of knowing and being in Christ. Displayed for you, Lord's Day by Lord's Day within the church, and hopefully day by day within the home. The Word of God read, prayers offered up. Hopefully an example of godliness, particularly among your parents. Wives humbling themselves in submission to their husbands. Husbands loving their wives in a self-sacrificial way, as Christ so loved the church. Seeing that lived out, yes, with weakness and stumbling for sure. But overall, a humility and a self-sacrificial love seen embodied by the parents. And then in the church, a loving community, not perfect by any means, but a loving community overall. That's a privilege. The Word of God given to you, prayers offered up on your behalf, living examples of the grace of God at work, men and women, your parents, others, endeavoring to embody the virtues of Christ. Those are privileges. And these given to you freely. Part of the privilege is having the presence of God and His Word in your midst, close to you. God, His Word, close to you as His children. This is a wonderful source of assurance. If understood by faith, even as children, if the Spirit in addressing you is clear and you're hearing His voice, He makes His will known to you plainly and clearly. Written in His Word, proclaimed to you from this pulpit, clearly, directly. That's a privilege. God knows you. God loves you. God even speaks to you. Not in weird ways. We're not talking about dreams. We're not talking about visions. We're not talking about strange manifestations of tongues or prophecies or anything like that. Clearly, plainly, the Spirit speaks to you in His Word, and as that Word is proclaimed even this morning, to you. It's weak to be sure. But with eyes of faith, ears of faith, you can see, you can hear God addressing you, speaking to you, drawing near unto you in His Word. Don't neglect it. Don't push it off. Don't just think that this is any ordinary Sunday and some minister is up there kind of haranguing and going on and on. That's not it. The Spirit is endeavoring to speak to you this morning, even through very, very weak vessels. But make no mistake about it, it's His voice. And what is He saying to you, children? What is He saying? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I can't think of anything more clear and direct. It's what the Spirit is saying to you this day. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I can't think of a higher privilege than God coming to you and speaking to you. And this is what He does. Lord's Day by Lord's Day. And this is what He is doing right now. Very directly. Speaking to you. Now there's all kinds of ways that we can understand that and reasons and means by which we can understand and be motivated. We don't have time to look at it this morning. We shall look at the various reasons, means, and ways. But make no mistake about it, God is addressing you this morning. That's a privilege. It's also a responsibility. What are you going to do with that word? What are you going to do with that word? Third and last, your obedience to your parents is the most important act of service you can render to God at this time. Your obedience to your parents is the most important act of service at this time. We can ask a series of questions. If I know that Jesus has forgiven me of my sins by virtue of His death, on my behalf. If I am convinced, not only that I'm forgiven fully and freely of all of my sins, but I'm convinced that God loves me, and He loves me with an unconditional, eternal love. He knew me before I was born. He will always know me. And in knowing me, He loves me. Loves me. Unconditionally, eternally. Forgiven me. Unconditionally loves me. I know that I'm united to Christ. And if I were to die, even at this moment, a terrible thought in some ways, and yet a glorious thought in others, if I were to die this very moment, where would I be in eternity? Where would I go? And I'm convinced I would be with Him in heaven forever. Forgiven. Loved, delivered, saved, assured, secure, always with me, never leaves me, never forsakes me, no matter how much I stumble, no matter how weak I am, He upholds me and He will be with me as my shepherd, even through the valley of the shadow of death. I need not fear any evil, for He is with me. What is the best way I can express my thankfulness and my love to God for those benefits? What is the best way, even as a small child, what can I do in response to such unconditional love and grace? the best way to express your gratitude, your thankfulness, the best way to express your love to God is simply this. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to God. And so the text is clear for us this morning, and it's clear toward the children of this congregation. I want to say, you children. The Lord has spoken. And with that is implied many, many privileges and blessings. And the most appropriate response, recognizing His grace, His forgiveness, our relationship to Christ, a new creation, a new humanity, all that is ours in Christ, the best way to serve our God, to express our love and our gratitude, is simply this. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now again, there's much more we need to discuss, not this morning. Lord willing, we will come back next week and look at the various reasons, motivations, explanations as to why obedience is so important as a covenant child to one's parents. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word and thankful for your Holy Spirit. And our Father, we are thankful for the children of this congregation. We are thankful that you have entrusted them to parents and that you have engrafted them into the church. We are thankful for how you have spoken and marked them out by the sacrament of baptism and how you show unto them Christ Jesus, his shed blood, the way of salvation, how you have opened the way of faith for them, how you have created an environment in which they might be nurtured to follow Christ and to taste of all of his benefits. Father, we would pray on behalf of the children of this church, whether infants, toddlers, young people, young adults, older adults. Father, we pray for the children of this church, and we would ask that you would so do a work of grace, that they might know your love and your presence, that they might hear your voice, and that they might desire to obey and to honor their parents. And so help us all, we pray, to live out of this truth, to rest in your grace, to be so utterly assured of your love that it is our pleasure, our happiness, our joy to serve you through this obedience. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's prepare ourselves as we come to the table of the Lord.